Welcome to Nana's talk show. I'm Nana and welcome Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for inviting me onto your show.
Thank you, Jerry. We're so excited. Everyone is so excited to hear your story. So I want to introduce a little bit of about Jerry. Jerry is, he's a professional football player. So when he was 15, he scored his first professional goal in the Spanish league, La Liga. And in 2020, he joined a Serbian professional soccer team, football team, before he got kicked out by the Chinese Communist Party. So for some Westerners, maybe they don't, they want to know more details about what happened, is that Jerry's father, Hao Haidong, this is Jerry, and this is Jerry's father. So Hao Haidong, he was a former China national team leader. He currently holds the record for being China's top goal scorer. He won the top honor of Chinese soccer individual China's football player of the year, and is an excellent athlete. So Mr. Hao was also a soldier. He had a deep connection in China's political and business circles. Mr. Hao's wife, Ye Zhaoying, was also a former badminton player from China, officially ranked as the number one women's singles player in the world in December 1995. So both of them stepped out and supported the NFSC on its founding day in 2020. And things happened during that day on June 4th, 2020, the new federal state of China's founding day. Jerry's father was the one to announce the establishment of the new federal state of China through an FSC broadcast. And he read the FSC declaration and called on the people to take down the Chinese Communist Party. And after that, many of the news related to him on the internet quickly disappeared. And it's because of his status and how much influential they are in China, this is a kind of like a big bond to this Chinese Communist Party, which caused later on even Jerry was affected by this action, and CCP was also aiming, Hao Haidong's son to kick him out of his professional Serbia team. So let's, before we get into details, let's just watch a little clip about when your father and Ye Zhaoying, when they had this declaration on 2020 June 4th.
新中国联邦宣言序言，我们因爆料革命凝聚在一起，为实现新中国法治、民主和自由而组成喜马拉雅监督机构。三年来，郭恩贵先生、史蒂芬·班农先生和亿万战友发起的爆料革命运动，向中国人民和国际社会 揭露了中国共产党的非法邪恶本质与欺骗行径，消灭中共是正义的需要，中共是共产国际资助的颠覆了中国合法政府的恐怖组织，其在中国的集权统治已发展为彻底的反人类暴行。
世界杯出现万众欢呼，但是都不如我今天，我认为我们俩今天就是最高的荣誉、 最大的荣耀，可以为新中国联邦读这份宣言，就是对这种体制最大的声音的说不，因为我们曾经经历过。那么人类走到今天，人类文明发展到今天，共产主义、共产党这种体制必须要退出历史舞台，这是对老百姓、对未来、对我们的孩子、所有的人的 一种生活保障、人生保障，而不仅仅在他们的这种统治底下的洗脑教育，所谓的绑架了14亿的中国人，他们把国家、政府、政党混为一谈，这是尤其是对我们运动员、对足球运动员、对所有的体育人的一种
Okay, so Jerry, can we just, can you just, it's your time, tell us so what happened after this?
Okay. Well, yeah, just to go back and narrate a little bit about what you were talking about. So basically, yeah, I was playing like football or soccer professionally in Serbia in 2020. So basically, yeah, you know, my dad and his wife, like they basically came out speaking against the Chinese government, which you know, I at that point I had no idea what was going to happen. And so they came out with the declaration on the 4th of June, and I had actually just played a game. I think it was like June 2nd. It was like a cup game, and then yeah, we had like a two or three day break. I don't remember if I played on the 3rd or was it on like the 2nd? I don't remember properly. But then basically, yeah, like I got to training the following day. I think it was either one day or 2 days. Oh, I'm sorry, like it's been 2 years, so I don't like remember the exact dates. But yeah, I basically just arrived at training, and you know, the coach and one of the sports directors basically just came over, and then you know, they started going on about how, hey, listen, we've already let a couple of players go, older players. We're going to try and focus on the development of the younger players, right? And you know, at this point, I'm thinking, wait a minute, but aren't I a young player? Like, weren't you guys trying to, like, get me to terminate my contract with Granada here in Spain and go and play another year? So then I was starting to realize what was going on, because I didn't think that, like, you know, things would happen that fast, because I didn't really know how bad it was going to be. Like, I did not expect to be, you know, prosecuted in this way, since, you know, I had absolutely nothing to do with it. However, the team that I was playing for, which is called Radnički Niš, the president is actually politically like involved. He's a politician in Serbia. Actually, I don't remember the name because I never met him. But basically, yeah, like, they just told me you have to go. They just came up with some excuse to me, and then that was it. Like that, and then it was just done. And then they came out with like a statement. I don't remember like how long after, but then they were like, no, we terminated his contract in like May, when I had already, you know, played the game like in June. So, you know, obviously there was like something very wrong there. And, but yeah, since obviously I'm not like a big name player or anything like that, like, I think it just kind of got like overlooked, even with, I guess you could say, like, Enes Kanter, like, even his situation is like very similar to mine, I guess, in a sense. Well, not entirely, because I didn't say anything, he did. And yeah, you know, he definitely got affected a lot. And, you know, I'm glad that at least he's, you know, getting the recognition he deserves for, you know, fighting for human rights, which is amazing. But I guess in my situation, like, yeah, I'm just kind of left to my own devices to like dig myself out of the hole. But yeah, you know, I've had to retire playing football, because I don't know, I guess it's just really not meant to be. But yeah, that was like how I got kicked off the team. Yeah.
So in 2020, is it okay? So in 2020, when did he sign you?
Like, I went on loan. I was there. I think I first arrived in 2019 in like December, because it was going to start like the training already, like the preparation training for the league. And I basically just went there, tried out, and they said, "Hey, like, listen," because I was playing in Portugal at that very moment. Because I was not like very happy with the situation in Granada, so then they loaned me out to Portugal first. But then I wasn't very happy there, because it was like the third division there, and, you know, the level was definitely not great. So yeah, the Serbian opportunity came up, so I just went there, tried out, and then they were like, "Hey, you know, like, grab your stuff, we're going to Turkey for like the preseason." So yeah, I arrived in like Turkey around January 2020 to like join the team. And, you know, at that point, like, everything was obviously fine and all that. So yeah.
So, because you said in May 2020 you just played the game, played, you know, the team, and then a month later they tell you you're too old to play.
Yeah, like, they, yeah, no, like, the excuse that they said was was like,
sense.
we're gonna focus on developing like younger players. And I'm like, wait, but I'm a young player.
Yeah.
So, so you know, that it is what it is. Obviously, I knew what the reason was, and they just, you know, they just obviously couldn't tell me the truth. But it was kind of obvious, because they wanted to like already, you know, they wanted me to play there for one more year, because at that point I was still on loan with Granada. I still had one more year of contract. So basically, yeah, they wanted me to like terminate my contract with them and play with them for another season. As you know, I guess the chances that I got were enough to convince them to keep me for like a year more. Or I don't know how long they would have offered me the contract, but yeah.
And then we know that after, on your way coming back from Serbia to Spain, because you live in Spain, there's some trouble, right? That's quite
Yeah. So at that time, I was with my girlfriend. Like, it was just us two. We kind of took it easy because at that time, I actually had another ex-teammate of mine who was Serbian, who played in Granada, like in 2017 when we first met. But then later, he went back to play in Serbia in, like, second division. And we were just, like, sort of hanging out for, like, a couple of days. And then, yeah, we decided that, yeah, we're just going to, like, drive back to Spain and just, you know, visit a couple countries on the way and just sort of like take it as like a holiday before I would get back to Spain. And basically at the border patrol, like they basically let me pass like the first, how do you say, like you go pass with the card. They let me pass like the first place. You just sort of like check my passport and all that. And they were like, okay, fine, no problem. And then when I got to like the second one, they stopped, and then, you know, I gave them my documents, and I was sort of explaining at that point. So this is where it gets a little bit like tricky and complicated. So at that time, what happened was there was the lockdown. So what happened was, since I basically have a Spanish ID, or I had a Spanish ID at that point, but the thing is, it was going to expire, but due to the lockdown, I couldn't go back to Spain to renew it. So then, you know, obviously I was contacting with the club over here in Spain, in Granada, and they were telling me, no, it's fine, because it's a national emergency. When it comes to these sort of things, you automatically get like 6 months prolongation period if your you know, ID expires during this national emergency period. And basically as I was explaining to them, you know, they were like, okay, we understand. But then they basically took my passport, they took my, Spanish ID, and then they went inside like a room. I don't know. I was just waiting outside with my girlfriend at that point. And then they came back, like, I think it was, I don't remember, maybe like 15 minutes later, because it was taking awfully long. So I was like, okay, this is very weird. They were like, is your dad like how high do? And then I was like, yes. So this was like the border to go like into Croatia. So then like I was like, yeah, he is my father, you know. And I was like, hey, listen, I played also here in Croatia for like a year, because I played my under 19 that year in Croatia. And I was like, hey, listen, you know, I used to be a football player. You can obviously see, like, just let me go, you know. And then they basically came back. I think it was like half an hour later. Like, they took an awfully long time. And then they were like, hey, like, we can't let you pass. And I was like, but why? And they were like, no, because of your, they basically just started making up excuses for the Spanish ID. They were like, no, your ID expired. But I was like, no, but I just explained to you the situation that it's okay, because this is like a valid card. They were like, no. Hey, tell you what, go back into Serbia and then go to the Chinese embassy. So then at that point, I was like, okay, well, this is clearly not going very well. So then, yeah, I was forced to just go back into Serbia. Good thing they at least like let me pass back into Serbia. So then at that point, yeah, I just called my dad. I was like, hey, listen, this is the situation. They didn't let me pass. And then, yeah, that was pretty much it. I tried to get in contact with the club here in Granada. And basically after 20 minutes of communication of like calling on the phone and texting, they just stopped replying like at all. Like the lawyer and the one of the guys who basically work as a, how do you say? So just like handles our like IDs. He helps us like book hotels when we go out to play, like stuff like that. And yeah, they just stopped replying to me, and basically I was just like left to my own devices. And, you know, thankfully for, you know, Mr. Miles, I was later on able to get back. But it was like a pretty strange situation, let's just say.
Yeah, so when you are on your way to Croatia and they don't let you cross, but did they say that you either go to China embassy or you go back?
No, they just said like, hey, listen, like I can let you pass, but when you get to Slovenia, they're not gonna let you pass. And then I was just like, okay, but that's like not your problem, you know? They were like, no, listen, just go back to Serbia and go back to the Chinese embassy. That was all that they said. And they, like, obviously they were not going to let me pass. So it didn't really seem to matter what I could have said to them, you know?
So do you remember the, how many days after June 4th, the declaration of an FSC?
Wow.
Around like half month, a month, in a month.
Yeah, I think like maybe no, less. Maybe I think maybe like 2 or 3 weeks later, because yeah, I was just like taking it easy in Serbia, and then because you know it was already like the rest period that we normally get like as footballers in Europe. We get like a rest between June and July, so we get like a month off. And yeah, just between that period and yeah.
And then you say you, when you go back to Serbia, then you texted your kind of like your football club manager, right? He managed all your guys' travels and stuff.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. Just the Granada football club. Like, you know, I was just trying to get in contact with them, and you know, they basically just, they were like, "You're on your own, buddy." Just stopped like replying to me. So that was actually pretty hurtful, to be honest, because you know, I was like, "Whoa!" I was really not expecting that. But I guess it's only natural since you know Granada is also like Chinese owned. Oh. So, you know, the owner, the group is called like DDMC. At that time, the president, was called Jiang Lizhang, but now it's like, another guy like Ren Yitao or something like that. I don't remember, but yeah, they basically just have to do the biddings of like the, Chinese Communist Party. So probably, he just decided, yeah, you guys just stop replying to him and just let him be. But I guess they didn't really expect me to be able to get back and stuff. So, yeah.
I would think it does hurt because you guys have a kind of stable and nice relationship, right? Because he managed a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
And then all of a sudden,
absolutely.
He just like cut off and just like don't even care about your situation. Just like kind of,
yeah, it was absolutely like that. And when I got back to Spain, I tried to get in contact with them again, and I was like texting the lawyer, and he was just like, oh, you're not like a employee of the club anymore, and that was it. So
obviously they're really just trying to cut the relationship.
Yeah, so it's just embarrassing, honestly, because like at that point the lawyer, I think it was called like Alvaro or something, but I don't remember like his last name. Like it's just embarrassing because you know he was like hitting on my friend, and I was texting my friend. I was like, hey, is Alvaro like replying? Like text Alvaro, see if he replies to you. And he replied to her in like,
oh,
I don't know, like 2 minutes, and then I was just like, okay. So yeah,
what
it's just embarrassing. Like honestly, it's just embarrassing, honestly speaking. So
wow. And then right, and we didn't we need to get into details. As then you called your dad, and you're probably very scared because usually in Europe, if you have a resident card, it's very easy for you to just pass the borders in Europe.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But then you meet that, you have that situation out of nowhere, and you called your dad, and then finally Miles sent like a plane, right?
So actually I wasn't really that scared, because I think like it didn't really sink in at the moment like how serious the situation was. Like I don't even think I realized, right? But apparently, like, you know, I was actually under surveillance and all that. And then, yeah, like the next day, pretty much, Miles just sent a plane so that I could get out of there. And, you know, my poor girlfriend had to like drive all the way back from like Serbia back to Spain by herself.
She cannot get into the plane.
Yeah, no, like she had the car. So like,
oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, so like, you know, she had to try. God, that just made me feel terrible, to be honest. But
so what kind of plane,
yeah,
by the way? Is it like a private jet?
Yeah, it was a jet.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, very, very cool experience, I must say. But yeah, like I guess on the plane, I was starting to get a bit nervous because I didn't really like at that point. I was like, oh, hang on a minute. Like they were legitimately trying to like deport me back to China.
That's
and I didn't
so scary.
Like realize that because you know, I've lived in Europe for so long. And being like a proper citizen, I would say, you know, I paid my taxes and all that. And like, you know, I didn't realize that like, whoa, this could have happened to me, you know?
That's so scary. Especially.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like now that you think about it, it's like legitimately, if I was dumb enough to go into the Chinese embassy, they would have never have let me out.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in China, so like thinking about like if I get into trouble like that would be so scary. And because there's so many supporters from the New Federal State China, they live inside mainland China who got disappeared. Like,
right.
Numerous, like. So
of
many
course.
People can, countless. And especially if they got you, that would be so scary. Let's talk about how, like, can you share some experience about, like, because I know you most of the time you're staying abroad, that you had little education when you go abroad when you're very young, so you stayed in China very not too much times. But can you
right.
share some like memories that you remember that are very that you can feel pretty suppressive or that's very different from your the things that you want to do from your instinct? And can you share some stories?
Well, you see, the thing is, so. This is why, you know, China is just so messed up, is that I cannot tell you a single story that I was suppressed because of who my dad was. So, like, literally, I can do whatever I want in China, like figuratively speaking.
Like what?
Well, I don't know. I could just drive without a license, and you think if the police stopped me, I was going to get it. Well, obviously not. It's just like, one call to my dad, he calls somebody else and, you know, it's done. But like, obviously I don't do that, but I'm just giving like an example of like that a lot of the times maybe I would be like above the law. So like, if you say like, was I suppressed? There's no way that I was suppressed. You know, like it's terrible. People that have certain influences. Yeah. Can do whatever they want, you know, and that's just not right, you know?
Yeah, and so Jerry and me, we had been on past some other streams, and he shared some really good stories that I think it touches me because I still remember you talk about your dad, about like there's something that he gave it up to, for to be kind to other people, right?
Right. I mean, if you talk about my family and you know I've not really been in China that much, and I don't really like know too many of the government officials. But you know, somebody like my dad, it's just so easy to coerce money to be corrupt, you know, because of the people that he knows. But that's not justice, you know. That's not fair on all of the other Chinese people. I mean, yeah, I could be sitting in a 5-star hotel eating, I don't know, lobster and steak every single day, where then later on, like 50% of the population can't even make it till the end of the month, like with their, I don't know, what is, how much was like the average, like I think it was like 200 euros, which is like $180 or something like that a month. And we're talking about living in places like Beijing, where like a apartment, like a 2-room, 3-room apartment, like at a near a school can be like what, like $3 million dollars. Like, you know, you're talking about like ridiculously like figures of money where, you know, like our people, they can't even live properly, you know, like, and with that money, you don't even get free healthcare. You have to be living in the smog all day. And what I mean by that is like the pollution. If you guys ever do like a little bit of research on like pollution in China, it's ridiculous. Like, I remember, like back when I could still go back to China, like over in the summers, I would go back every single year. Like after I get off the plane, after a few hours, like my nose would just start bleeding, like just by itself. Like because of how contaminated the air is. Like, yeah, like I don't normally get like nosebleeds and stuff. And this doesn't only happen to me, because like a lot of my friends that are also, you know, living like for university or whatever, like outside, when they come back also, like they just get like nosebleeds. And, you know, we live in Beijing, like, you know, the capital of China. And, like, it's, you know, it's ridiculous. Like, it's terrible. You know, you don't get, like, free education either. So, you know, my dad gave me the example the other day, like, one football player, he couldn't even get past, like, the gate of, like, a kindergarten because the guard, right, who has actually nothing to do with the school, was like, no, you cannot pass. Probably just because he didn't, like, he was just like, yeah, I can't be bothered to let you through. It's just things like that, you know, where you have no security, you have no life, you know. Like, even when you buy a house, you only get the house for like 80 years, I think, because like after 80 years it like belongs to the state, right? So it's it's hilarious. Like, you know, you can't live. Like, you can't live. I mean, people like me, yeah, obviously, like I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. But when you look at all the other people that has to live in those conditions, it's not okay for us to be, you know, living however we want, and the other people don't even get an opportunity to, you know, voice their opinions. So I think what my dad and what Ye Zhaoying did, I think it's extremely noble, and we need people like them, you know, more and more with how the world is right now.
And you, we need you too.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm happy to share my stories and help out however I can, because this is something that's so much bigger than us, yeah. Right? So
I have a question. So we know that on June yeah. 4th, that when your dad, you know, told Miles and he decided to want to do the declaration, John right. also told him that, you know, yeah. I can come join you. And so it sounds like when your dad are doing something, he probably didn't tell you he's going to do the declaration before he do it, right?
Nah, I had no idea. I think just like the next day, I think he just like them both, they just like sort of like sent me their wills, like what they wanted me to take care of if anything happened to them. And at that point I was just like so confused. I was like what? And yeah, obviously like everything was just so like crazy, because like at that time, like back when I was still a football player, like nothing would be more important than football to me. So like I didn't really like think about these sort of things. I was just sort of just looking forward to get back to Granada, like, you know, and start training again. That was it. And I didn't realize like how serious the situation was until, you know, when I got back to Spain. And I was just like, wait a minute, like I can't like continue, I can't even like continue my life. Like even now, like I can't really find a job that easily. Like, yes, I finished my, court, with Granada, and yeah, they paid me the money, like, which didn't even reach like the whole, contract, but I've lost 2 years of my life, like literally not being able to do anything. And I'm not even going to get like recompensated for any of that. And obviously, you know, it's not really fair, but I mean, what can I do other than like accept the situation? And you know, the press is probably not going to give this any sort of thought or any sort of like, they're not going to take this that serious. So I have nothing to do other than just to like continue with my life and keep going. That's it.
Yeah. So I was shocked because I think I forgot the details of. To us, we're like, for me, I'm like a normal person. So if I go on stream and expose CCP, I have nothing to lose. But for your dad and Ye Zhaoying, they are very influential in China because they're number one football and
badminton
player.
Yeah.
And so when they speak up, they are actually... 2020 to June 4th, they are the first celebrities in China that show their appearance and show their support in front of the camera. So that's something that is a big step to the new federal state of China to
show the Chinese Communist Party. It's huge,
how steady we want to take CCP down. And for the
absolutely.
You said the next day, right away after the declaration, they're so serious that they're signing the will, preparing for that just in case if CCP is gonna do anything because they don't know what's gonna come. So that's
absolutely. I mean, like they've broken into like their house like a couple of times already, like. I mean, even over here in Spain, you know, when they were like not inside the house. So, you know, like it's ridiculous, honestly. It's ridiculous. Like my life has just been turned completely upside down. You know, I've had to stop my career because of something that had absolutely nothing to do with me. For me, it would have been nothing other than an honor to have been able to like represent my country, if I ever got to that level, which I believe I was getting to that level of, you know, representing the national team. But, you know, they have their ways of doing things. And in the end, I have no choice but to realize like, hey, these guys are clearly extremely evil, because even for people like me who has done absolutely nothing, you know, even we are like prosecuted. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And Miles always say that if you don't take down the CCP, they're going to take you down one day.
For sure.
Of them. So that's why it's so important, especially after the COVID pandemic came in and then the vaccine rollout came in. I think it's almost perfect timing for you to stay at home and be safe, not taking the vaccine, because the football team, they have to take the vaccines, right? It's a mandate.
Yeah. Like I think on that, I'm definitely very grateful, because, you know, I am. Because if I kept on playing football, I definitely would have taken the you know, the vaccine, because for me, I have to play. You know, I have to make money. I have to, you know, take care of myself, take care of my girlfriend and stuff. But like, you know, I wouldn't have had any other choice. So in a sense, it did turn into a blessing for me, you know, that that I stopped playing. So I didn't get vaccinated. And yeah, definitely very, very happy about that.
So I wonder, when they're signing, you know, your Zhaoying and your father, when they're signing the will, did they say anything else to you? Or...
No, it was just like, you know, if anything happened to us, just, you know, take care of your sister, take care of like the daughter of Ye, and you know, you take care of everything. And that was it. I mean,
that's insanely courageous for them to do that. Like just signing the will just shows that they will take stand up and take upon everything that's gonna come onto them from the CCP.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, at that point, you're prepared for death, like 100%. You're prepared. I mean, we're talking about, you know, you going against like the biggest mafia organization in the world. You know, you don't know what's gonna happen. And it just goes to show what sort of people, you know, they are, what sort of, you know, justice you got to have inside of your heart, you know, what kind of like love, like true love to your country that you got to have to be able to come out and, you know, prepare for like death, literally, just to voice your opinion. I mean, I think over here in the West, the people take so much for granted, you know, like the sort of societies that they have. That they forget, like there's countries like China, which supposedly is a world superpower, where you can't even like voice your own opinion. I mean, it's sad.
Yeah, but we're confident that we're gonna soon take down the CCP. Even the deep swamp, they're talking about how to sanction them. So, good news coming up.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely we need a lot of help from people in the West, you know, like it's tough for only us to do our part, you know, just like how, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, said that, you know, even the whites should help. And, you know, this is like the same situation. You know, we definitely need allies. We need people that believe in justice, in what's right. It's just in what's right, you know. And I think basic human rights that are you know, free speech, free healthcare, you know, free education, all these sort of things should be fought for.
Mm-hmm. So thank you, Jerry. We had fun. I had fun hearing the story.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too.
It's very powerful to hear your story. And
thank you. And yeah, it's definitely a lot like easier for me to explain everything in English.
Great.
Like, because my Chinese is pretty bad. So great to do a stream in English.
Great. So let's just let's check out some comment.
Oh yeah.
Let me see.
Did anybody even comment? I mean, is there anybody even watching?
Yes, we're streaming both on both. On Oxford Farm and on my official website.
Oh, okay. Wait, is this going to be on YouTube as well? Yes. Or?
It's awesome. Also streaming right now. So.
Oh, is this streaming on YouTube right
yes.
now? Oh, okay.
Look, so we have Panina text like the music, great. And everyone is showing support. And Ricky was asking you, how do you feel give up the career because of the CCP?
Wow. Great question. It definitely took me a very, very long time to accept what happened. Definitely like mentally, like I just was not doing very well. Like the past 2 years, because you know I've only really known one thing, and that was just to play football. And you know, when that got taken away, it was kind of just like, whoa, you know, I couldn't really accept what the reality was. But you know, now I've had time to think things through. And yeah, I've just sort of accepted the situation, and I just hope to move on. I hope to grow alongside, you know, the Himalaya, the new federal state of China. I think what we're doing is the right thing to do. I think that this is something that it just deserves to be. You know, right. Everybody is putting in so much work. You know, we got somebody like Miles that's leading us, leading the way. I just don't see how we can do any wrong. You know, we're on the side of justice, and I believe that we should just move forward and keep doing our parts to eliminating the Chinese Communist Party, and that's it.
Wow, so I learned something new as well. I didn't know that it's very hard for you to, in the beginning, obviously, right? That football career is everything to you. And all of a sudden, you just off and just gone, and then people that still care before they cared about you, now they, because of this, because of CCP, they just like want nothing to do with you, and it takes a while for you to. Were you like, did you say that you were a little bit like depressed because of this?
Yeah, for sure. Just, you know, mentally, I was just, I was not doing okay. You know, it's just, it was definitely a depression. I mean, it's tough, you know, when you're young, in a sense. You know, I've been by myself since I was like 15 years old, because, you know, I came to Spain by myself. And you know, I've had to really shut out a lot of emotions, because, you know, when you're young, when you're by yourself, you know, you got to have some other types of coping mechanisms, you know, against the world. And yeah, it was tough to have so much emotions at that time. And, you know, it was hard for me to digest everything. It was hard for me to accept everything. But, you know, this is just how the world is. This is the sort of world that you will be living in if, you know, you allow the Chinese Communist Party to keep doing whatever they want, you know, like anybody, you know, even me, somebody who has family that are influential in China, you know, that supposedly in the world can be affected. Well, I imagine just the average person, you know, like how bad it could be. So I'm glad that an organization like us is here in the world. Well, I don't want to call it an organization. Just a family, I guess. A family like us exists in the world and wants to do the right thing for the people of China and for the people of the world. I think that people really don't realize how dangerous, you know, the situation is. You know, like anybody can be affected. I mean, I am somebody who has a professional contract for a team that was in the first league of Spain. You know, we're talking about like sports teams that are worth like millions, you know, like even in these situations, even in these like such big organizations, you can just be tossed out like you're nothing, you know. It really is very, very scary.
Wow. I guess, you know, for sure that when things happen to us, we couldn't understand why that happened, and we will blame a lot maybe to ourselves and stuff. But I think,
right.
Go ahead. But I think along the line, maybe 2 years later, when you go back and look, you will understand, okay, this is why it happened. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy that to know more about you, I think everyone would be so surprised at how your inner struggle went through after this thing happened, right? And
oh yeah, for sure. I mean, everybody has their own thing going on. I mean, I didn't really want to like talk about it, because, you know, there's obviously people in China that are suffering a lot worse. So yeah, my situation, I think it can be fixed. I mean, my career is over, because now I just think that it will be a bit too tough to get back into it. I just think that, like, I don't think I want to go back to playing anymore. I mean, obviously, I could play at keep playing like lower divisions over here and see what happens. But now I'm happy to have found the new federal state of China, and I want to see what we can do with all that. You know, we already got, you know, such amazing things like G Fashion. I'm such a huge fan. Of Himalaya Exchange. Like, I think that everything that Miles has given us is to really give people like us a great identity to show, you know, the rest of the world that, hey, you know, we have people that are not your average person, right? You know, we have people that are different, that we care about our looks. We care about, you know, how the economy goes. We care about what is, you know, correct in the world, you know, justice. And yeah.
Well, I think, you know, the new University of China is going to become, maybe in the future, going to be the new China. So for sure, you can still represent the University of China to you. You can even
absolutely.
Be a coach, right? You can still be a football
yeah,
player.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and
absolutely.
University of China, I think there's so many to explore. And, you know, you will also expand on this platform during.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, for me, it was just so crazy to see. Like, for example, for G Fashion, like Jay Cortez, who's like a huge Latin American singer, because, you know, over here in Spain, we love like his music. And people like Jason Derulo, like I'm pretty shook, to be honest. Like, I didn't think like at such a short time it would attract like such big names, and like it's just super, super awesome to see. I tell like Doa all the time, like it's like I'm just so amazed that, you know, how we're attracting all these like huge Hollywood names. So I hope that you know, G Fashion is gonna send me some stuff, because yeah.
I saw you have this G Fashion hat. Do you have other G Fashion clothes? Maybe you can.
Yeah, I do.
Time.
I got like I got yeah for sure. Like I got like a t-shirt which I stole from my dad, because, you know, I'm I ain't got no money for G Fashion. God damn. I have a couple of stuff, so yeah, like for sure I'll put it on next time.
Yes, great. Okay, let's keep continuing with our comment. Everyone is very supportive.
All right.
And yeah, Zhaoying was here. Ricky said both of us can be G Fashion model.
Wow, I don't think I could be a model.
Of course you can. You're a professional football
player. I don't really think like the clothes of G Fashion looks good with somebody who has tattoos like me, to be honest.
No, I think it looks so cool. Come on. I think it's really cool. You need to just wear it next time, then it spokes itself. It will speak itself.
So, yeah. Truth in the news. Why in Spain you speak English so well? So, English is kind of like a first language to me. I grew up in a very international community where, even though we were in China, English was always the language that we spoke. I went to an international school in China, so all the classes are in English, except for Chinese class or Spanish class or French class. Everybody is non-Chinese, so, you know, we have people from all over the world. So later on, when I came to Spain when I was like 15, well, obviously I had to start off with speaking English over here, although nobody spoke English here. I'm glad that nobody did, so I had to learn Spanish. hopefully in the future I could do some shows like in Spanish as well, because I really think that the Spanish community is so big, you know, so like it would be super cool.
I think that would be great.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a huge community. Like, it would be super cool to do a Spanish show. And the American accent is completely fake. it just comes from like watching movies and stuff.
It's great.
So I do pretty well imitating like accents like from all over the world. So
can you do? Can you do British?
Yeah, I could do like British, Indian.
Nigerian.
I ain't doing it. That's just gonna sound so racist. So I'm not gonna do that. No, like, cause I had a British accent. So my dad, he played for Sheffield United like for 2 years and a half, 3 years. So I lived in England for a while. So obviously, when I went back to China was when I was like 10, almost 10, I think. I had a British accent. But then when I started going to the international schools, they were like, man, it's so weird seeing you like like a Chinese dude speaking in a British accent. So then I was like, oh, okay. So I kind of just got like half bullied into an American accent. So yeah, apparently it fits my image better.
Oh my god, that's great to know. So we cannot wait. In the future, we're gonna talk more with Jerry, right? We're gonna talk more about stuff focused on NFSC and the news and topics.
Yep.
Cannot wait.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else you wanna say before we go?
Thank everybody that is watching and will watch later on. I hope you guys enjoyed my little storytelling session, I guess. And I will see you guys a lot more with Nana. Yay. So thank you, Nana, for inviting me.
Thank you, Jerry. It's so great to know more about you today. We had fun, I believe. So see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.